I wanted to be going up and down vertically so I could use this as an acronym. I came across this about a month or so ago. It was shown to me, and it made a lot of sense to me, and I wanted to share it with you. I am a parent. I don't know everything. But I found that this makes a lot of sense to me, and I'd like to do my best with the time given to do it justice. But we have the word parent, and as I said, it is an acronym, and the P stands for patience. When we go to Psalms 86, verse 15, it says, "But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." We can find in the scripture time and time again where God is patient. We have all seen the saying, "God, please grant me patience and grant it to me now." It's kind of funny when we think about what we're really saying. Because when we pray for patience, soon after it seems like our world is falling apart. Do you suppose that's God teaching us patience? In hindsight, being a parent, I think one of the worst things a parent can do is to lose their patience. With my first business, I had an attorney. His name was Sam Kramer, and he was just starting out on his own. And we were going to go eat lunch. And I got in there, and the office was in complete chaos. Their biggest client was upset, and everything was just chaos. And Sam calmly gave everybody directions. And as we walked out to go to lunch, he said, "Let that be a lesson to you, to always be in control. Don't lose your patience. Don't give in to the chaos." And I think that's true with parenting. Don't lose your patience. Be aware of this one thing. Children are watching and learning from us every single day. And they pick up on things that we do not expect. And if kids know that they can rattle you through chaos, they will create it time and time again so that they can control you. You are the parent. You be in control. Stay calm. I haven't learned that one yet. I just know about it. Kids are going to be kids. They're immature. And some of them are tender-hearted. So we need to be careful, because tough love may not work on those kids. Kids want to do things their own way. Kids are no different than us adults when comparing to our relationship with God. God knows all, period. He knows it all. He knows how to discipline. He knows how to encourage. He knows how to show love. And come to think of it, God created love. We tend to want our problems solved now. But do we follow God's example? Many times, God has shown us his patience in the Bible and in our lives. Does anyone here know how long he waited for the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah to repent? Does the Bible tell us that some citizens left to live elsewhere because it had become too sinful there? If you were God, would you have had the same patience that he did with Gideon? If you were God, would you have the same patience with Moses and all of his silly excuses of why he couldn't lead the children of Israel? With some people, you need more patience than with others. I have heard it said, while there is life, there is hope. I think there is a lot of wisdom in that statement. We as Christians need to make sure we are affording the same amount of patience to others as God has afforded in us. We need to afford the same patience to our children that God affords us. In Deuteronomy 32, Moses tells us that God is perfect in all his ways. If you believe that, then doesn't it make sense to imitate his patience? The A stands for affirmation. 200,000 employees were interviewed to discover the missing ingredient in their productivity. The study concluded that the appreciation and affirmation topped the list of what they wanted most from their superiors. This research implies that receiving affirmation is a basic human need. The Apostle Paul realized this basic need with the Corinthian believers. So before he peppered them with firm words in that first epistle, he showered them with affirmation. As their spiritual leader, Paul began his letter with thanksgiving to God for the grace being displayed in their lives. Once far from God, these believers were now participating in his grace through the death and resurrection of Christ. United with Jesus, they were drawing their spiritual life from him. And the fruit of this union was their spiritual growth in godliness. Paul deliberately and continually thanked God for his work in the Corinthian believers. And I believe that by Paul's affirmation, that they were able to withstand the discipline that was about to come next when Paul spoke to them. Although our kids make mistakes, we still need to give them assurance that they are loved, that they are still doing good work. This is something that I have found out from kids. That when they've done something bad, they already know they did something bad. And they don't need a parent to make them feel worse about it. I have an electrician friend. His name is Rich Blanchard. He was over helping me at my house several years ago. And at that time, my son Carson was mowing the yard. And I was always hounding him to pick up the yard before you mow. Well, Carson had ran over one of his aluminum baseball bats and destroyed it. And Carson hid it. And Rich and I found it. And I was going to get Carson. I was going to lay into him. And Rich said, "Don't you think he already knows that he did something wrong? What's the purpose of heaping it on more?" Rather than to beat down, we need to find ways to affirm, to build up. When we see people who are obeying God, let us take the time to affirm and thank them for allowing God to work in their lives. And if we can't see a person obeying God, we need to look harder. I'm looking out over this room. And everybody in this room does good things. We just tend to look at the things that they do wrong. We need to take the time to point it out and affirm. Although you make mistakes, you're still loved, but you're doing good work. You're doing good work.
are
recognized as valuable. Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, it was weakened by the flesh. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin into the flesh, in order that righteous requirements of the law might fully meet in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We have value. God tells us in this statement, we have value. We were so valuable that he was going to send his own Son to die for us. I don't ever want anyone to think in this room that they are unworthy. Anyone that ever comes across my path in life, I don't want them to think that they are unworthy. Because they are worthy. Because they were created in God's image and God created them. They are worthy. They are valuable. And it's important that we make sure that our kids understand what value is in a healthy way. I'm reminded of a story that I've heard since I married my wife. I may have this wrong, but one of Tom's jobs at the golf course was to cut cups. And when Allison was a small child, Tom would take Allison to go cut the cups with her. Normally, it would take Tom about an hour and a half. But how he phrased this to Allison made her feel valuable. He said, "Wow, honey, usually I can cut cups in an hour and a half. But when you come with us, it takes 2.5 hours. And she sat tall in her seat and she felt proud of herself. He didn't beat her down. He didn't make her feel like she was a ball and chain. He phrased it in a fashion that made her feel good about herself, that made her feel worthy, that she was contributing to her family and her family's business. I think this is really important when raising children. Kids live in a world where parents control everything. But look for decisions that a child can make that will help them feel like they're contributing. In Don's life, when he was growing up, he felt like he was contributing as a small child because he might go help milk the cows. He might go help gather the eggs. Today, we don't have that opportunity to make our children feel like they are contributing to the family. So why don't you say, "Hey kids, where do you want to eat? What do you want to eat? What game do you want to play?" If we use our minds, we can creatively find things and decisions that we can allow our children to make that will help them feel like that they can contribute to the family. I've watched different parents over the years, and some of these parents are really interesting because they get engaged in topics I never, ever would have. They'll ask their kids what they think about on certain topics. It might be sports related. It might be political related. It might be religious related. And what's interesting is that when these kids grow up, they're really good at making decisions. And I like watching the parents that ask their kids spiritual questions, because I can see their wheels turning and they're working their salvation out for themselves instead of working out the salvation that they were told to have. These few things can give kids a healthy opinion of their contribution to the family. I believe God wants us to feel the same way, that we have value here, that we can contribute here. E, encourage. The 119th Psalm tells us that God's word is sweeter than the honeycomb. Proverbs 25 and 11 explains encouragement more than anything I can think of. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in setting of silver. Tom did a really good job with Allison. Words fitly spoken made her stand, sit tall, made her feel like she was contributing, made her feel good about herself. When you feel down and out, do you turn to a spiritual song? My guess is that everybody in this room turns to a spiritual song. God encourages us through his music, the lyrics, and his written word. It builds us up and helps us to stay the course. You know, it's interesting. I've been reading the Bible for years, and I've never found a passage that said, you're an idiot. You're not worthy. You need to feel guilty. God doesn't control us. He gives us free will. And those words that I just spoke are words that parents say when they want to control their children. Do you know parents that dole out the guilt trips? Do those kids eventually rebel against those parents? Some do, some don't. I like this verse. This verse makes me feel special. It makes me sit tall. 1 Peter 2 and 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. I'm God's special possession? Wow! I like Philippians 4 and 8. This one's a tough one for me to do when I'm feeling down and out because I go back and forth with it. Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. I go back and forth. Start thinking about something good, and then all of a sudden that bad thing creeps in, and I start sweating the load about, oh, look at all this work I got to get done. Am I going to get it done? As a sidebar, I know I'm going to run late, but I got to tell you, the Des Moines Waterworks drives me nuts. I have over 100 customers that I have to turn on their irrigation in Pleasant Hill and certify their backflow device, so that if there is a water main break, the water in their irrigation system doesn't flow back into the potable drinking water and poison everybody in the whole city. Well, this year they've decided that everybody's test has to be done by April 30th. Well, how am I going to get all of those customers done, plus all of my customers in Pleasant Hill and Ankeny? I'm just saying, what's true? What's honorable? And I go back and forth. What really is the thing that's important, Kelly? Stop stressing over it. And today, Doug led a song, number 251 in the Red Book. And it's based on the verse in Isaiah 49 and 15. And My jaw just fell open when I read this. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. The Lord will not forget you. The words of God encourage us. Nurture. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I think nurture takes all of these on the acronym list here and makes the rubber meet the road. Affirmation, recognizing value, encouragement are just words, but it's the nurture, it's the time spent reinforcing all three that is necessary. I would guess that all parents have regrets not spending time with their children as they should. Deuteronomy says that we should spend with our children, teaching them, showing them good examples. As a mature parent, I see that I did not take enough time to spend with my kids. It warms my heart to see on Facebook that Mark takes Shay and Gabby shed hunting. And although they find no sheds, they find some really cool things. That's time well spent. I want to read some lyrics to a song I heard a few years ago written by Trace Adkins. I'll try not to cry. The title is Just Fishing. I don't even know how to start. I'm lost in her there holding that pink rod and reel. She's doing almost everything but sitting still, talking about ballet shoes and training wheels and her kittens. And she thinks we're just fishing. I say, Daddy loves you, baby, one more time. She says, I know. I think I got a bite. And all this laughing, crying, smiling, dying here inside, what I call living. And she thinks we're just fishing on the riverside, throwing back what we couldn't fry, drowning worms and killing time. Nothing too ambitious. She hasn't even been thinking about what's really going on right now. But I guarantee there's a memory, a big one. And she thinks we're just fishing. She's already pretty, just like her mama is. She's going to drive all the boys crazy. She's going to give her daddy fits. And I better do this every chance I get, because time is ticking. She hasn't even thinking about what's really going on right now. But I guarantee this memory is a big one. And she thinks we're just fishing. In my life, I've always been behind the eight ball. I've always been in debt. Never could get ahead. And I always thought that I had to work a lot in order to provide for my family. And I think that's how a lot of parents are. Parents need to take time to nurture that relationship. Everybody in this room needs to take time to nurture a relationship with one another. I think it's so very, very, very important for the elderly in this congregation to build relationships with young children. I've always told myself I can't wait to be a grandpa because I'm going to fix the things I messed up when I was a parent. And I'm going to build a relationship with those kids. If you're elderly, if you want to make children in this congregation feel good about themselves, send them a letter. I know it's not email, but when my kids get a birthday card, they stand a little bit taller. They feel a little better about themselves. You remember what it was like to be a parent? It's hard. T is time. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everybody to come to repentance. This verse tells me that God is giving me time to mature. Why can't I afford the same to my children? Yes, I am supposed to help them learn and become mature. But there are some things my children just can't grasp because they are too immature. Just like our relationship with God. God recognizes when we are too immature. And he gives us time to become mature. He disciplines us, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, perfectly, so that we can mature. In Luke 15, Jesus tells us a parable about a wasteful, excessive, irresponsible, self-indulgent, reckless son. And when we look at this parable from the Father's view, we see a good example of what I mean about time. Not every child is the same, and that is a good thing. Even though the father may have done everything right, for some reason, children have to learn crucial lessons a different way. As a parent watching a child learn his way, I know that it can be extremely painful. But I ask myself, how do I know that God's not trying to teach me the lesson of being patient and allowing my children to make mistakes so that they can become mature? I've been training a young man for work, and it has occurred to me, I'm scared to let him make mistakes. But if I don't let him make some mistakes, he's not going to know what kind of questions to ask. It's okay to give them some space. It's okay to give them some time to figure things out. We as parents don't want to see that happen. We have seen life. We know what can happen. It scares us. And it's painful to watch them do the things that they do. But I think it's all a part of growing up and maturing. And I think about my relationship with God. How painful is it for him to watch me do the stupid stuff I do? But by God allowing me to do my stupid things and learning from my mistakes, I believe it's His way of helping me to seek out my own salvation with fear and trembling. As you can see, this is a pretty good lesson. And I'm not a master of it. I just heard it, and I liked it, and I thought I would bring it to you, and hopefully that the older I get, the more seasoned I become, I can help those who are coming up behind me. If you have heard the Word of God and you wish to be baptized, we're going to give you that opportunity as we stand and sing the invitation song.